Good evening, everyone, and welcome to what promises to be a very exciting evening. I'm Kim McDaniel. I'm going to be your moderator here this evening, and joining me is none other than the man, Archbishop Jim Humble, and scientist extraordinaire, Andreas Kalker. A big welcome for them. We are here in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, at the end of what has been a very exciting week. This was the first ever MMS training course here in beautiful Puerto Vallarta. All of the future health ministers will be taking their test tomorrow. So before we go on with our webinar this evening, Jim, is there anything you'd like to say? You'd like to mention highlights of the course or how it's going?
Well, I'd just like to mention that with the health ministers that are becoming health ministers tomorrow, it makes a total of 400 health ministers throughout the world now, and that's in more than 70 different countries now. I think 72 different countries of the world where there are health ministers who treat people for health for free. And then, of course, we ask for donations, but we don't make it an absolute. They can donate if they want to, and we appreciate the donations, but we don't charge otherwise. And one other thing I would like to mention that Andreas Kalker is a bishop in our church, and he has been a bishop for several years now, and he has done some really, really fantastic work, and he wants to tell you something about
some of that great
parasites.
Work he's done.
Parasites. That's what we're going to be talking about. Or that's what he, for a little while anyhow, he wants to tell you some very interesting points about parasites. I'm just sort of learning some of these points myself since he come over here with all the data, but the points don't surprise me because I've been sort of looking along those lines for some time, but he's got the research done on it.
Yeah, we're going to start off with something that's really interesting, and that has to do with parasites and supplementation. We're all kind of under this opinion that, oh, this vitamin's great or that supplement's great, or I'm lacking in calcium, he's lacking in magnesium, she's lacking in selenium. And Andreas has some really exciting, interesting research he's going to share with us about that very point.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would like to say due to the research we've done on autistic children from the webinar yesterday, let's say my mind is logic driven. So, as I say, wait a moment. Where are the common issues? And you see, for example, many autistic children with a lack of vitamin B12 and a lack of iron. That's a classic, no? So, say a lack of, and we have many people that had a lack of anything. And you say, okay, if we are in the same family, we are eating the same food, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and I have a lack of, why? Mm-hmm. Nobody asks them why. If you go to the doctor and say, why do I have a lack of, and my brother not? And this is a very serious question, because, or something is stealing it away, or I have no other explanation. What mm-hmm. might steal this vitamin B12 iron away? Okay, there might be that I have burning too much energy or whatever, but then there would be many more issues. Mm-hmm. For example, I would have fever or whatever. That's not the case. Or I would have other side effects. So the only logic reason for me is parasites. Mm-hmm. Why? For example, we know that Ascaris lumbricoides, very, very, very common parasite that is one out of four persons due to the World Health Organization, and to my mind, it's most likely one out of two, So these parasites are in the intestine and they're absorbing what they need. And what does a worm or a nematode need? Most likely vitamin B12, because it makes him grow. So if we now say, okay, I need this, and I push more vitamin, the worm says, thank you.
And it grows more.
And this is the reason why we had some autistic children that have even vitamin B12 injections and this supplement and that supplement and the other supplement and 300 more supplements. And in the end, we had some worms that were of unknown size. Because we know, for example, in medicine, that the Ascaris lumbricoides has maximum of 40 centimeters. But in many cases, we had till 90. So this is why many times I said it's an unclassified worm, because I don't know. It doesn't exist. They're so big and so resistant that we don't know why it is.
And so a lot of these expensive supplements that these moms are buying for their kids with autism are going straight to the worms. And and through the lab tests, their levels never really go up. Like, you know, the B12 and the iron or whatever that they're trying to balance out, they don't really ever get there.
No, because they don't go for the cause. They go for the effect. So if you say you have a lack of, this is a fact, it's not a cause. So there's no such thing like to balance something out without knowing why.
Right, treating the symptoms doesn't really...
No, it's a medicine. It's a typical medicine. Now the medicine is treating symptoms because I keep a customer. And this is a big problem. So we have different ways and different types of worms. Today we had three different, we spoke about the basic ones, let's say Ascaris lumbricoides, let's say oxyurus, Toxocaracanis or Cati. So these are the three I would put most attention on. There are others in Fluke, and so there are 3,000 parasites. But I'm speaking about nematodes, about worms. And these ones have different effects on your body, and they do different things. So, for example, as oxyuro, or is nearly 90 something percent of the population have some. For example, if your anus itches, it's very likely that you have oxyuros. They are very, 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 very tiny worms that usually are said not to do any harm. Usually, well, I ask myself, where comes the hemorrhoid from? Just because, or just of pressing? No, because these are the fecal matter of the worms is very acidic and creates inflammation. So if you have inflammation, you press hard, so you might get the hemorrhoid at this part, for example. We have the same in other parts of the body where it's always inflammation. So we even might have it in larvae that are migrating. We see, for example, that with every anesthesia, we usually have a migration of larvae because they don't like it at all, and so they might migrate to any part. And that could be one of the reasons why we have so-called autoimmune system illnesses that are not autoimmune at all, that are just... One case gets to the other, so the worm goes, so the virus comes, so the bacteria does, and so on and so forth. The body tries to get rid of it, and then everything collapses. So parasites is something completely misunderstood, to my mind. And we have seriously to go over this. And the funny thing, as I told yesterday, when you make a test for parasites, only 1% of tests is positive. Wait a moment. If the World Health Organization is saying 1 out of 4, and you have 1% that's positive, the numbers don't
add up.
Don't add. What happens? Well, okay. For example, Toxocaracanis, this is a worm from the dog, will not come out in the fecal matter because we are not the natural host. The natural host is the dog. So it runs through our body without knowing where. It's a migrant larvae. And in children, sometimes I showed it today, we have it, for example, it goes to the eye. Many people, it goes to the eye or behind the eye or in the brain or wherever. It can go in many places and do a lot of harm there. And we have to think about one thing of, let's say, cancers or let's say cysts. Mm-hmm. What, it's just a mind, think about it when you're a doctor. Imagine just that a larvae goes, is a migrating larvae for whatever reason through the bloodstream and goes into some tissue. And it goes deeper, deeper, deeper in the tissue and it can't go back. So it died there because of lack of nutrition. This dead larvae is a problem because the die-off of the larvae is highly toxic.
Oh,
so it makes an inflammation, and this inflammation, the body has to fight. So depending on where it is, the body can flush it out, but depending on other places, he cannot. And in this place, when he cannot flush this larvae out, he will encapsulate it.
So you're talking about deep in the tissues
now. Deep in the tissues. Yeah, for example, ovary cyst or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they will encapsulate it. Half a year after, when we make a surgery and get this out and we cut it, we will not see any worm because it's already completely dissolved. But the toxins remain in the nucleus of the tissue.
So this could have been something that a doctor would have removed because it looked to be a cyst or it looked to be cancerous. They might have thought it was a tumor growing there when in fact it was the waste product of parasites that the body had encapsulated because they couldn't, the body couldn't flush it itself out of the tissue.
I don't say that is the reason for every cancer.
Right.
I don't say that is, but it's, I'd say
it's
many
tape.
Why? Not only possibilities. I've even some proof. We have many cases where we give a detox, a deparasiting program on cancer patients. Not only us, there are other researchers who does it in other countries we are in contact with. And many times the cancer went away. So what's happening here? So it doesn't come back. There's definitely a combination. And as I said yesterday, the industry knows of it. Why? For example, if you have many children or people that can't eat gluten, and gluten, say, well, they're sensitive to gluten. And now I stepped about a paper, a scientific paper, how to make gluten sensitive rats.
Okay.
And in this paper, it describes very exactly how to make a gluten-sensitive rat. And this is nearly impossible because rats love corn or, well, love wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basic food forever for them. And how do you get this? You know, why and how? Well, they infest them with worms.
Oh.
So there is a direct relationship in between gluten sensitivity and parasites that the industry knows.
Okay.
So I'm always very careful because I don't want to say any stupid things, but this is a fact. So I'm not saying here that all the industry knows. I'm not saying here that there's a big conspiracy going on, but I'm saying here that definitely they know what creates a gluten problem, and this is a parasite because they need it for their lab rats. And we are the lab rats on the other part that are paying. So we are paying lab rats on the other hand. And, for example, that would mean, and now I'm hanging out a little bit of the window, sorry, but, for example, if I would be a very, very, very evil guy from a very, very, very evil lab, and someone would say, we need something to improve our sales on psychopharmaca, but I don't want them to be found.
Mm-hmm.
How can I do this? I can only do it with parasites. How? The Ascaris lumbricoides creates MDA, malondihydride. This is amphetamine. It's a drug, you know, the drug, the Let's Dance Forever drug, and be very anxious. And this is what the worm is giving to the children. This is why the children are like this. And then they give them a pill to bring down the overstimulation or whatever, or the non-attention, or ADD, one of these
ADHD,
100 new illnesses that are completely new every month, especially on psychologic drugs. So what will I do in my psychologic drug? Well, I will feed the bugs. So I will feed the worms, and bring down the symptoms. It's as easy as this. feed the worms, bring down the symptoms, and you will have a customer forever. Sure. And nobody will ever be able to sue you because you just have a drug that is not putting the worms in your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on favor of them.
So would you say they're taking advantage of a situation that's already existing in the world?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is one of the very, very tough things we have to think about because actually follow the money
sure.
is the reason. And it's not about being conspiracist or being, no, not at all. It's just a matter of money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a big company and you need to create a new product and to create more money for your company, you're under pressure, so you will do what you have to do. And if you have a drug that helps to the bugs at this time, you might not know, but most likely they'll know, and you create dependency without having dependency components in the drug itself. Because you create the dependency from the outside, you know? You create
from the lessening of the symptoms. You're creating your customers because it appears the children are better.
Exactly, but the worm is getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get away the drug, it's worse.
Yes,
the typical effect.
Back.
And,
yes.
and worse because
mm-hmm.
the worm gets stronger because you feed them with the best you can. Apart from the extra supplements you give and this extra and the extra and the extra on. So we have to start thinking different about. We don't have to put more and on and more on and more on and more on and until the weight breaks everything down. You know, we have to get weight off and see where is the reason for this. Why do we have a lack of whatever? Why do they have a lack of whatever? And when we have a lack of whatever, go through the list of the parasites. If there is a parasite that's usually directly associated to this lack.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, eosinophils. We in our blood we have eosinophils. Sorry, and I don't know the word in English. It's a white blood cell
uh-huh.
that fights against parasites.
Uh-huh.
So it's naturally in our blood, and they show up, and so we can see that in the bloodstream. And when we read the analysis of the blood, we don't have to read just where the markers are on higher than usual. No, we have to read the other things too, because sometimes there are cross relationships we oversee very easily that can came from these part of parasites or other issues. It might be as well a virus, you know,
mm-hmm.
That is sensitive to electricity.
So in a minute, I'd like to talk about treatment, because this is an existing situation. It's affecting a huge percentage of the population. But for a second, could we talk about prevention? Mothers that are pregnant or, you know, small babies that maybe could you, is there a way, is prevention possible?
Yeah, if somebody wants to have children, she should before really make a deparasitization program.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we go to the vet and he says do it twice a year with our cats or dogs or whatever. And why not us?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the reason that we cannot get this? Yes, we get them too. And if we don't deparasitize, well, we don't see them, we don't smell them, we don't taste them.
Mm-hmm.
They're inside. And they are drawing all the energy out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the draw of the energy is a lack of something afterwards, you know. And this, how can you put this for these mothers? So if they make a program to get rid of it, perfect. We have a lot of success, for example, with MMS
mm-hmm.
in many cases, not in all the cases. MMS is a perfect parasite killer for malaria, where... Here, Jim can say more about it. What's the killing rate in malaria?
Well, in the world today, malaria still kills more people than anything else. And several million children die every year of malaria, and it's still mankind's worst disease. And yet, MMS kills malaria in a human body in about 4 hours. And so a malaria victim goes from totally sick to totally well in 4 hours. And if they're in the hospital, they get up out of bed and put their clothes on and go home. So it's really an amazing thing for malaria. But I think I think I'd like to hear a little more about how to prevent getting parasites.
Yep. Well, actually, it's very difficult.
Okay.
Why? In the children in the park, where are these parasites? For example, the sandbox of the park. If a dog has defecated once in there, they stay about 5 years. And there's nothing that kills them, even ultraviolet light from the Ascaris in this case. And the children are playing in the sand, they put their fingers in the mouth, so they get the first infection. You cannot prevent this. You can only get off once there are, or so you can make a standard deparasitization program. There are natural parasite killers, for example, from pumpkin seed to, papaya seed.
Mm-hmm.
There is coconut.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many natural, or walnut and so on. There are many natural killers for them. The problem is once they are established. So you will always have some, and they will go the way. The problem is what we had with the autistic children. When you have a child with parasites and you give the vaccine shot, we are supposing, and this is quite possible, I think, say, with a very high probability rate, that this vaccine shot provocates larva migrans. It means that the larvae are going anywhere.
Could you talk a little bit more about that? Because I understand what you're saying, but I'd like to understand a little bit more why. What ingredient in the vaccine, the adjuvant, the live viruses, heavy metals, what allows them to do that? Do we know?
Well, every vaccine is different.
Sure.
So we know, for example, by sure that some ingredients of the anesthesia directly make the worms come out. So we had some surgeries in Africa where they put the mask on and of the child and the worms come out.
Okay.
And they get quite anxious with it because they're affected. They are born in us, so they know us better than us from the inside at least. And they know every movement of us. If we go do this or do that, eat this or eat that, it's difficult. They're not easy to kill. And some people, for example, said, well, they have them in the throat or wherever, and they make a gastroscopy. They're fast, and they're gone again. So they're not just lying around.
Well, let me ask you this: if a child goes to the park and plays in a sandbox, and he comes home, would it be of any value to give him some MMS the same day, right away?
I'm sorry to say it does not.
Wouldn't
Why?
Help.
Because they have a pH from 2 to 11.5. No way. No way to kill this except 96% alcohol. We don't want to bath them in there. No, no way. What you have is to clean the hands. Huh? So usually our body is used to parasites and get rid of it by the eosinophiles. Eosinophiles. Sorry, my English is not the best.
Oh, you're doing great.
And we have other defense systems from our body. This is not so much a problem because many children have worms. We know this from our grandfathers. And when I was a child, you have to give the resin oil, the castor oil, the castor oil or whatever. The old grandfathers and grandmothers, they knew it. And you come and, well, come, you have to do a deparasitization. And we did it that time. It was usual. We were working on we were in the fields and whatever. We are more in touch with nature.
But what about the pH? You said something pH 2 to 11?
Yeah. Oh. It can withstand the pH from 2 to 11, and this is, for example, even a bleach, a lye, you can put it in lye and it does not...
Yeah,
not.
MMS isn't... MMS a pH is, killer, though.
Yeah, no, but it's not as strong as lye. If you can, even with a standard lye, you cannot kill them. So, they because they have very, they have different the capsules. They have one, two. I don't want something. It's a they have but not one capsule. They are capsule in a capsule in a capsule.
Once they hatch out of the capsule, though, can the MMS affect them then?
Yes, the MMS is. Most likely then effective, but it's better to, for example, diatomaceous earth. Why? The diatomaceous earth is like little crystals, and when you have a larvae, the larvae is, has a mucus. You have to imagine it like a jellyfish. And, actually, this is why we don't see them on the x-ray. It's, a, it's like a jellyfish. It's not massive at all. And the larvae is this. I had some photo. I did some photographs in the computer. So well, in the microscope. And just in the moment where a larvae was defecating, so you can see it really nice. Well, nice. you can see this effect exactly. And you can, but this larvae was surrounded because as they surround by mucus, mm-hmm. you have to imagine the diatomaceous earth is like crystal, mm-hmm. like glass. That like broken glass that goes to them, and the more they move, they cut themselves, you know. So they cannot move it because they're ingested and they have it outside, and this is very bad for them. You don't need much of it. If you want to prevent, just a teaspoon of diatomaceous earth, it's a very good preventer. Yeah. And you have the for example the there are some juices they don't like either, like carrot juice. So if you want to prevent, if you just ingested the little boy and he has take some diatomaceous earth sometimes, carrot juice, pumpkin seeds, and some coconut milk, coconut water or oil, or this, honestly, I don't know if it's water or milk, coconut water. This is already strong enough to kill the little bugs.
Would you recommend then one of those two or three times a week or something like that?
Yeah, it's okay. Once a week, twice a week, whatever. Mm-hmm. The problem is not the parasite. The problem is when they make the complete cycle. You have to understand, for example, Ascaris comes in as a larvae, and then from the larvae it goes to the liver. And from the liver later it goes to the pancreas. From the pancreas it travels through the heart into the lung system, mm-hmm. where sometimes when they have many children with every asthmatic problems, many of asthma problems are done or caused by this, and even there's some new pneumonia cases where it's really, but this is really not very much, but this is complete overgrowth of them, but it, sometimes it is. Then they go to the glottis, I don't know what's in English, to the throat, I think.
Okay.
And at the night when you cough up, you swallow the larvae uh-huh. again. And you swallow the larvae, and then this larvae becomes a real larvae, and it grows. And this one is the, or a male or a female.
Will the diatomaceous earth get it then?
The big ones not.
No, but the little ones, yeah.
The little ones, yes.
Why can't it get the big ones?
They're too big and too strong already. Because, and they're very clever. And, because there are cases we know that they make leaky gut syndrome. Mm-hmm. I don't say that all leaky gut syndrome is caused by this, but I think many. And you have to imagine when you have the gut, the intestine, and you have the worm in, and it's a long time here, the fecal matter creates a infection at this place. So the flesh gets less strong, and he might create a hole by pushing, and it creates a hole inside. So the head of the worm is in the gut, and the tail is in the bowel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this effect that somebody is eating something with gluten. The worm says, hooray, energy, full, because they love sugar. And he eats it in the same moment. He defecates in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the people that short after eating, whoop, they have these bowels and say, oh, I cannot this, I cannot that, tomato this or bread or whatever. Or even that these toxins, if they're children, but the children have, you give them, I don't know, you give them a tomato, whatever, and the parasites defecates just different depending on what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more aggressive, less aggressive, or whatever. And you have people, have some children that go nuts, really, depending on what you give them and say, oh, he can't eat this. And nobody ever recognize that there's a need of research to do on this. Why? Everybody just goes to the symptoms and no one goes on the why.
Mm-hmm. We all know what intolerances or what allergies they have, but no one stopped to ask why so many intolerances, why so sensitive.
Exactly. So the logic is always there because we're living in a world of causes and effects. So if there is an effect, there has to be a cause or several causes. I don't say here that everything is caused by parasites. No, I don't. But I think it's a completely misunderstood factor that a huge amount of the humanity has. If the World Health Organization say that 1 out of 4 are having. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Your turn.
So, is there hope? I mean,
yeah.
You mentioned yesterday you have a 36-page parasite protocol. Yeah. If this is followed, if we kill these worms, can the intestines heal? Can we get rid of them all? Can we live healthy lives?
One of the things that are the most important for me and effective is the MMS because it makes two different things. First of all, when we make enemas, we clean the
large intestine,
mm-hmm. from the toxins.
Okay.
Because one of the problems is when we kill a bug or we have, because they're in the small intestine, but mm-hmm. but they go to the large intestine to leave their eggs there.
Mm.
So when there is one is killed by anything, even by getting old or whatever, the problem is we start to digest them immediately. So why do so many lab tests go fail? Because we digest them. And if you don't bring someone who's still moving, they say negative. So I had tests from the Tropical Institute in Barcelona where I send the photographs. I send the my lab photographs with the larvae under the microscope. We send a specimen that was 90 centimeters long, like this, half digested, but in a test tube, and we send lots of samples, and all of them were negative. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, and I don't want to know why. I just want to change this.
Right.
I want the truth come out, and if there's something behind this, I don't know.
Okay.
Yet.
Yeah.
But
you suspect.
There are, if the industry knows how to create a gluten-sensitive rat, and they do it with parasites, so they know more than they say.
Very good. But let's go back to this treatment for a second. You were saying there were two things that you really like. I got one MMS enemas. What was the second?
It's not
36 pages. I know it's
exactly.
Just two things. But.
Usually if you go there, the standard doctor says, take some Mebendazole. Uh-huh. This is a nearly 60 years or 40 years old a drug from the 60s. And take 3 Mebendazole 3 days and you have nothing anymore. I said, wait a moment. Because we know that there is a cycle, right? And if they're in the liver and Mebendazole, we know because we can read it, is only absorbed to 5% in the blood. It will not kill the ones that are in the bloodstream or in the liver or in the pancreas or in the lung. They will not kill them. Or if there's a migration, they can migrate to anywhere. They won't kill them either, the Mebendazole. They only will kill the ones that are in the gut. and they kill them by hunger. So they don't kill them immediately, too. So what happens is that, it just don't fit, you know. Say, in 3 days, you cannot get rid of the other ones. And if you may kill some, but they will come back.
Mm-hmm.
So the dose, the official dose of mebendazole, this is on the package, is far too low.
Okay.
No? And we can see side effects on the dose that say, well, you might get headache and you might get this and you might get that. Actually, I've been taking really high doses. And if you don't have a parasite, it does not do headache. But if you kill the parasite, the toxins are going in the gut. And if you don't take castor oil to blow it out, the toxins will go in the bloodstream and create a lot of headache. Many people have migraine.
Mm-hmm.
They should test about this, because if you have migraines, it might be a nematode and the fecal matter of nematodes.
When you say test, do you mean like do a round of the parasite protocol? Because you say the lab tests, they're
exactly. So one issue. If you take, for example, make a little test, 1 or 2 days mebendazole will not kill everybody. It's just a standard program. And what you can make, you get a bowl, you know, where, how do you say,
a bucket,
a kind of bucket. You put it into the toilet.
Maybe like a strainer. No, you really want a bucket?
A bucket.
Okay.
Really bucket. You put it in the toilet, because it's not to look after in the toilet where the water, where it can flow. No, you have to really go for details.
Okay.
It's a bit yucky, I know, but
it's
about health.
I just want to get the details straight.
Put this in the toilet, take the mebendazole, and look after in your fecal matter. You have to do what you are specialist in, to dig for gold, I say. And gold in this place is something, it's like a cable, a little cable. It's not a worm, because it's half digested usually.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you have slime.
Mm-hmm.
You have a white coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It is longer than usual than anything you eat, because mm-hmm. usually anything you eat, it's short.
Sure.
You have a long thing. And if you wash this out, let's say, and get some chopsticks to separate this, I recommend to make a photograph in case of the children's with autistic children, and send it to Carrie Rivera.
Well, wait a minute, though. Say your take. What? Mebendazole?
Mebendazole.
Mebendazole.
Yeah.
And you kill some worms.
Yeah. Ascaris in this case, yeah.
Okay. So why should you care? Why should you photograph? Why not just kill the worms and let it go at that?
Oh.
And if there isn't any there to kill, at least you give it the old college try.
If you have some, you might most likely have somewhere else. So if you don't have, you don't have to go further. You don't have to make the whole program. So if you don't have and there's nothing in, say, okay, I have nothing in these 3 days of mebendazole, you most likely don't have these type of worms, because you might have others, like Toxocaracanis. They migrate through the brain and they don't go into the feces. But you don't have the standard, let's say, Oxyuros. You might have as well a flatworm, and it doesn't is killed either. But if you have a flatworm, for example, you have little segments, white segments in the fecal matter, okay? You would see this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to make it very simple. Make the test. There's no slime and no wormy thing like this. And this is okay. You just make the standard test. You make this twice a year and everything's okay. Or three times a year, maybe. It will not harm you. It costs $3 or $4. It's not expensive at all. And you're on the safe side. The problem is when you have this, what does it mean? That you haven't the larvae, because you don't see the larvae, you will not see. They're just dead and they're too small to see with the eye. But if you have the long one, you have the mother worms already, or father worms, males or females, that mate every full moon, mm-hmm. curiously. And when these are there, the cycle is already completed. That means when you find these slimy long ones, you have to do the 36 side protocol because you have still some in the liver and there and there and there or somewhere else that said it's like next generation, next generation, next generation. Mm-hmm. So every month you have these 10, 12, 16 days, you have to make protocol, stop next month on full moon, the next generation is coming, kill them, next generation is coming, kill them, next generation is coming, kill them, nothing's coming, you're through. Mm-hmm. Okay? And from that on, as you say, take 3 mebendazoles and don't give, don't care about the shit.
Yeah, very good.
All right.
What about the ones that are capable of migrating to the brain? Does your protocol address those?
It is inside. Yes, it is.
Okay.
No, it doesn't address it directly because this is there's a different protocol because a flatworm is not a round worm. Okay. We are speaking here mainly about round worms.
Ascaris,
yeah, the most common is Ascaris and Oxyuros. Oxyuros. There's another good trick to get rid of them. This is you take the mebendazole, dissolve it, or you give it a liquid, and you have a little, enema,
mm-hmm.
rubber enema, and you put it in. So it does not have to go all because it's 24 hours till you drink it and it goes down everywhere and it's not so strong anymore. You put it just in mm-hmm. as an enema and it stops itching immediately. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you have some problems with itching anus, get the mebendazole, put it in. If the itching stops, most likely you have oxyuros. This is a small worm.
Is that a pinworm?
Pinworm,
okay.
Right. And it's a Latin oxyuro, pinworm, right. And this is very useful for this. It works quite well. There's another one called trilombrine. Not only mebendazole, trilombrine is from a different company. It's, I don't know the translation here, but we can look for it mm-hmm. and put it in the web. And so if you find them, you have to make the whole program. If
sure.
you don't find them,
right.
look for something else.
Right.
The flatworms, they're going to the brain. They might go to the brain. So what's the problem? There is a flatworm, there are different species of flatworms. I don't want now to tell, I don't have in mind all the species exactly. My wife knows more about it. That when they die, the segments, and every segment is with 200,000 eggs, and these eggs might migrate through the body. So if you kill a flatworm, get it out of the body as soon as possible, or take an overdose of MMS, or take castor oil,
okay.
or take anything that makes you flush out this as fast as possible.
Okay. Going back to these in the brain, these remedies that you're talking about right now, do any of those, you mentioned something else after mebendazole, I can't remember how you pronounced it, do any of those attack what's going on in the brain? Does MMS attack what's going on in the brain?
Well, there are some cases where we have brains from children, autopsies. They're like a cheddar cheese.
Wow.
I have the photographs and it's not so nice, actually.
That sounds awful.
So you can look up in the internet. There are some, too, because they create lots of cysts in there.
And holes.
Holes, yeah, holes and cysts.
Is there something we can do about it?
There is. There is a special industrial thing for flatworm. Yes.
Is there a way to know if there are flatworms in the brain to know if you need to apply this? How can we know, especially with our kids with autism, that maybe can't tell us some
what
of the symptoms
we usually
that we
they show up in the X-rays.
In the X-rays.
Usually this anomalies show up in the X-ray because if you already have worms, if you had a hole already. So I don't think it's very, very common at all.
Oh, you don't?
No,
okay.
No. The flatworm is not a very common thing.
Oh, that's great.
What is more common is if you have a parasitosis, so parasites, it's not only one. You might have one, two, or three at once of different species. And these create a different environment, and the different environment creates candida, because it's on favor for them. They grow very good on these different environment, and so it's like the cow and the wheat. You know, everybody's happy there, except us.
Mm-hmm.
So MMS is actually it's working curiously, and this is very interesting. In Africa, MMS works for this type of for Ascaris. Why? Well, I don't know. Well, we have cases from doctors that reported in Madagascar. Well, you give them the MMS, and next day they defecate a bunch of Ascaris, and they're out. And complete, and without digestion, without anything. So I think maybe it has to do with their food. And maybe that we are used to so many different industrial toxins that the worms are not the same. They get resistant like everything else. Actually, there are researchers that are small researchers without any big support, curiously, no support from a big company. It's curiously, for 40 years, there's been no new product against parasites. Nobody's interested in, obviously. What? Why? Why? Some things did not fit. And this guy said that it proved in his papers that they're getting more and more resistant every time. The same as bacteria might get to the superbug. Mm-hmm. The worms are getting to the super worms too. And this is what's happening here.
Fascinating. So, this protocol that you're mentioning, we'll be able to get this, we'll be able to get it translated, we'll be able to get it, we'll be able
online,
to get it out
free,
to people.
Yes, for everybody.
Wonderful. Okay.
And it's a bit, so first is a test, make a test with something simple, or look in your stool if you find slime. If you find something strange, for example, if you find pumpkin seed style, like a pumpkin seed, careful.
And you don't eat pumpkin seeds.
And you don't eat pumpkin seeds, and it looks like, oh, this is a flatworm. This is a really bad bug. And if you find slimy, long things, then you might have worse Ascaris.
Mm-hmm.
So do it, and nobody is you can get it in many places. For example, we say, no, I'm living very, very safe, I only eat organic food. Okay, we know that organic food is
manure is usually
that you put
or compost.
The it's compost, and the compost is done with fecal matter, and the eggs are in the fecal matter. And the eggs
don't get
broken down in 5 years, and you get the carrot out of the soil and said, well, this is an organic carrot and made like this, and you eat it, and forget that you might eat quite a lot of eggs at the same time.
Question: would disinfecting your fruits and vegetables?
We
with
do
MMS?
This. We do this with MMS. For example, when the food, you have an MMS bottle over there already mixed, a strong solution, you put it in the where you wash your food in the
mm-hmm.
the
bowl, in the sink?
And the sink, right? In the sink, you put a good portion of it in, and so let the salad or whatever soak a bit, then you have a quite high probability of not having problems.
Yeah, but you're saying
the eggs itself, when you wash them, usually went down from by the washing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So to wash them off. And it's not about one egg. It's not about two eggs. The body can go with this. They need lots of eggs to some survive. They don't survive all because, first of all, we have a quite strong body. They have to go through the stomach. They have to go through all this. They don't come through. But if you have hundreds of eggs, that's a different thing.
Thousands
of eggs. If you have thousands of eggs and you eat thousands of eggs, then most likely two or three will survive. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. It's not about one egg.
There was a question from someone yesterday that we didn't get to. You were mentioning it's important to separate underwear from towels,
right,
from maybe sheets. If we washed clothes with MMS, would that help? Would that do anything?
They're killed by heat. They're
okay.
killed by heat. That's 140 Fahrenheit, at least 10 minutes.
So important to be washing in the wash machine on
140
okay.
Fahrenheit, yeah.
Okay, very good.
So it's 60 degrees Celsius or 140 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
So really hot. Because if not, we are spreading them around.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the eggs of the pinworms are so easy to go everywhere, you know.
Excellent.
We cannot get rid of them all. There will always be a certain amount. The problem is if the amount is too high, our body will finally fall in a way or another. So we have to deparasite, programs of deparasitation. Yeah.
Deparasitation?
I don't know what's the right word. Sorry, my English. And to do that several times, as well as for the animals. And there are many, many, many solutions for it. Mm-hmm. Ask your grandma, she might have a solution we don't know, and said,
uh-huh.
No, I remember there was a plant of so-and-so we took, I don't know how many years ago, and the walnut of this and this, or the hull of whatever, and it worked very, very good. And remember, ask them. There's a lot of knowledge that is really gone.
Yeah.
And this knowledge is gone because our universities nowadays, you go into the university and you see the young students with the Pfizer their label on there. Well, I'm the Pfizer research group or Pfizer or whatever, any other big company, very proud, and they don't recognize that they're working for an industry that's only interest is to make money. So they will never really learn what is to be a doctor. And here we come to the point where you say, what is a doctor? What is a good doctor? And this was very interesting because there was a magazine when I was flying from an air company and the best doctor's off. If you want to know what's your best doctor, it's very easy. Ask him when he was the last time in Africa helping the third world.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says never, take another one. His interest is obviously not of helping. The interest of a doctor, of a real hero, and they are real heroes,
mm-hmm.
is helping. And we have many, many, many of them that are working in NGOs, like Medicine Without Frontiers or whatever, and they do it 1 month a year, and then they came back. And I can tell you, these doctors have 10 times more experiences on many, many things than most of the ones that are with their own yacht in the harbor, mm-hmm. and whatever. I think this is not about being rich. If you want, there's a different thing. You might be rich as a doctor, but actually last year, the doctor in America who made more than $380,000 of prescribing drugs. So, they get money for this. And, this is not about this.
Right.
So we have to change the system. We need health. We need real health, and we don't need. And how did it happen? Well, the Rockefeller Foundation. You just read it. Go to the website and read what they've done through 100 years. It's all down on their website.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already 1924. They spent millions on researching worms.
Hmm.
I'm speaking about 1924. The worms haven't changed, so they know more than anybody. And what's happening here with all the information? Where does it go? And they established a society of universities that are paying universities all over the world billions of money for research. And their interest is very clear. It's an industrial interest of control and making money. So, but the point is they're printing their own money, but
mm-hmm.
now they're getting to the control. They control everything. If you control the doctors, if you control the food, if you control the oil, if you control everything, you're in the control of the world. And that's what they are. Rockefeller, Rothschild, always the same. And the other eight families. So, but the point is, it's not a point to blame them. They're just a part of the system. We are the system, not they.
Mm-hmm. So we should maybe get ourselves healthy.
Exactly. So we always try to blame somebody, and mm-hmm. we are crying for somebody to help us. No, I don't. There has to come down a God to help us, or there has to come down a UFO and help us, and somebody else to help us. What? Mm-hmm. No. They will just look and see what is it. If I would be an alien up there, I would laugh and would say, this is the funniest planet I ever saw, because everybody down there is crazy. You know? And I would sit in the UFO and would just all day look TV, but on real, what's going on this world, and say, this man has so many millions that every habit, so for example, you have Rockefeller Rothschild, their capital together would make everybody on the world $300 million rich.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone. So, some things here not right in balance. Well, actually, if they would give the money to everybody, we have inflation and it would not, nobody would work.
Right.
This is the other part.
Right.
So, it's a very strange system that controls itself and that do the job. And now we have people like Jim that are coming up with a solution that does not fit in the system. Obviously, first of all, I was one of the first who said this can only be this is Quakery, you know? MMS is Quakery. I was the first because I said it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Scientifically, there's no reason why for all this. But now we know the reason, years after, because actually it increases the mitochondrial membrane potential. Mitochondrial membrane potential for the professionals. So this is what it does. So this means that as every cell has a mitochondria inside,
mm-hmm.
every cell is increased of power.
Mm-hmm. ATP. Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Exactly. And so we have more power resources, mm-hmm. and so the defense cells have more power, and our cells have more power, and all the cells have more power at this. And this is why it most likely kills a lot of things. It is in a disinfectant too, and it's a oxidizer too, and there's many other things too. So the curious thing is, with something very, very incredibly simple, we can do so many things. And it was very funny because 2 days ago on the website, there was a comment about Jim and said, I think this old guy only looks for money.
Oh.
And I was sitting about front in the commentary, and I was sitting in front and said, okay, because I know Jim now a long time, and I know the difference, because look, this is not a Rolex, evidently.
Sure.
And it is not. And it's even here, the tight band with a rubber, I think 2 years with a rubber holding it. He is not the richest. And you will see it on all his photographs if you look for it. The point is, and they wrote back in the comment and said, wait a moment, where is the point being 80 years old and getting rich? Where? He needs a Ferrari? He needs a bunch of girls? He needs a new house? He needs whatever? It's absurd. It's completely absurd. So, and this is what the people have to think about. If somebody like him is doing the work he does, and he does it for free. It's not for, there's no laboratory here producing MMS and selling it all over the world. Where's the point? Other people are producing this and they make money more or less, not so much because it's not so much either, but it's not a big business. You don't sell it for $100. You sell it for much less. But the point is that his work is really admirable. I admire it because he's been fighting against many, many things, and I invite everybody to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so much fighting against, it's fighting for. It's not fighting, and this is what I like very much when we did the recording, and you can see it on this. Join it and help. And the sad thing is, well, the donations is a donation, and many people, they don't find the donation button. And once there are, and sadly many of them, they write back, well, now I'm fine of everything. And you look in the donation list, their name, and they never appear, you know.
So they were cured by,
they were cured by MS, but they
never gave back.
Many.
Okay.
I only think, too, it's safe to say to these people, think in your karma. You will need it. So give a little bit and you receive a double. And this is actually what he did. He gave the double and to receive much more. That's just the recognition of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Definitely congratulations. Well, would you like, before we sign off today, to talk a little bit about something new that you have? Maybe you don't have to talk a lot about it, but the CDI that I heard mentioned earlier, do you want to just mention it a little bit before we sign off tonight?
Yes, well, we developed the MMS is something that you cannot use for example, for many intravenously, you cannot use it because it's too acid.
Mm.
And so we had a problem with cattle. Cattle farm, 800 cows, and well, they cannot drink it because they have five stomachs and in the rumen, I don't know, the pansen, I don't know what's the word in English, they need to they need fermentation for their usual system. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot easily drink it. They can drink it till an amount when they're very small and they drink milk and it goes to the milk stomach. But if it goes to the other one, if they get a bit bigger, so that's a problem. And they asked me to make something to be able to inject. So I developed a thing I called, or Jim called, CDS. Chlorine dioxide solution. That is basically the gas of the MMS. So mm-hmm. you take the MMS, you gas it out to water or to saline solution or whatever. You gas it out and you bubble it through, and then these other solution turns yellow. And when it's of a strong yellow, you know it's done. This tube injected to the animals. So this was a big step forward, because I was thinking of this, and Jim said, hey, this is a good idea to drink. I said, what? Yes, you drink it, because actually, Jim, you had a little problem with the taste. I think 14 years of MMS right. was too much. So
yeah.
Tell me.
Truly, I got to be like a lot of people, just couldn't drink anymore. Okay, I may die, but I can't stand the taste. So I understood it, and we developed a number of different ways of overcoming the taste. But the CDS that he developed was just easy to take. No longer the bad taste.
Okay, because this is the first step. And now the second step is... the second step is to inject it intramuscular or intravenously and in these animals. And now we have another farm with 10,000 pigs. So I know how toxic it is, because we can see, and the cattle was not more than 100 kilos, not more than a person too. And on a feeding farm, it's very tough. No, because they are torn away when the mothers with only 5 days. They have a big trauma. They're on transport and so on, and they die very easily. And they need a lot of vaccines and whatever. And so we get rid of the vaccines, and now it's only treated with seawater and MMS, and it works perfectly. But there are some issues. You need a stable or a higher concentration even. So I'm developing now the CDI. This is even one step more. Because if you make CDS, the pH is still around 3.5, 4, more or less. And it is still too acid just to put it into, for us. The cows or the cattle says, ouch. And it's different. They're more resistant to these things. But for us, it's still too tough. And the farmer said, Andreas, it's okay, but it's still a bit hard on them because it's too acid. And so we first buffered it with
baking soda.
Baking soda. But baking soda on middle term, or not on short term, but on middle term, brings down the efficiency completely, brings it down to zero. And we tested it, because in the beginning we couldn't understand it. But you put it in the kettle and say, hey, I have no change in 160 animals, so it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why, but I know it doesn't work because of statistics. So my research is done mostly on statistics. When I say something, I was trying to base on statistical data owned by ourselves. So I said, well, baking soda does not work. We had here a guy who said it would work, and so-called chemist, but he was on the wrong way. And so now we are working with a university in Spain, with a professor of electrochemics, and we developed the CDI that is buffered with, not with baking soda, it's buffered with sodium chloride. Sodium chloride has a pH of 13, and so when you have the pH of 4 and you would like to have a pH of, let's say, 5.5 mm-hmm. to 6.5 mm-hmm. maximum, mm-hmm. even less, 6.3, 6.4, where you want, what's your goal for the injection. So you can add a little bit of sodium chloride to rise it very carefully. You move it, you rise it, you move it, you leave it in the fridge for a time, for a day, two, or whatever, and you try to get it stable. And once it's stable, if you put too much, it goes too high and it's not worth, or it drops down again. There's a point, a zero point, where you can get it. And once it's stable, you can inject it in the bloodstream to the animals. And curiously, we had, for example, an illness of the knees of a cow. I don't know the name, but usually they're sacrificed. And he phoned me, do you have something for this? And I gave them the CDI, and they injected it into the knees, because usually to make CDS injected, you need a whole bag to dilute it down to get the pH to a right point. But now we can have in a little small 5 cc or even 2 cc mm-hmm. injection, we can have a very strong solution that does not have acidity problems.
Fascinating.
And then you put it in, and it's completely neutral to the body till there is something, an infection. And this infection is acid. So the chlorine dioxide attacks immediately, because mm-hmm. it's a CDS, chlorine dioxide solution. Then we have the first reaction, and when the first reaction is going on, you have the acidity, and then you've got the secondary reaction on the long term. It's not just puff in a way. The first CDS makes the first hit. It's like a boxer who's making bam, bam. Mm-hmm. And then the sodium chloride converts itself slowly into, at the same point, into
CDS.
CDS, exactly, into chlorine dioxide solution, and attacks again on a longer term. Because if you only make CDS, it's in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just one hit. It's like one hit with a, and then a longer big one. And this is the biggest development I can happily speak about.
Right. Now, one question. Let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Sodium chlorite or sodium chloride?
NaClO2. NaClO2. Not three. And not.
But chlorite. That's I-T-E. Not I-D-E is table salt.
Thank you. Wanted to make sure I was hearing you correctly. What kind of applications is this going to have?
Well, I doubt that we will get a permission to applicate it in humans.
Okay.
Except if there is somebody who voluntarily says, I would try it.
Uh-huh. So let's say that happens. We have that person. What would this be used for?
Oof. Many things.
Okay.
It could be injected directly into a cancer, right?
Exactly. It could be injected into tumor. What would happen? Well, no healthy tissue would be damaged at all.
Okay.
Because the tumor is acid, so the reaction is limited to the tumor. And in the secondary reaction, all the toxins will be oxidized.
Wow. We're really, the research is really going forward at a rapid pace. I think that we're so far beyond anything that the medical people ever thought of. It's totally unreal.
Well, I hope I'm inviting every medical professional who is interested in to contact me. You can do it on voedia.com, for example, voedia@gmail.com.
How do you spell that?
V-O-E-D-I-A.
V-O-E-D-I-A
at gmail.com.
Very good.
So they can send me if they're interested in research, because in the future we want to make a clinical study, a worldwide clinical study. We are now working on the non-toxicity documents that every clinic in the world can participate in this university study, official university study, that they will participate and they have the rules and how to make it. And on a middle-long-term study on toxicity, well, toxicity is already done, but now on the efficiency on different illnesses. So we already had several ones in Spain, some issues, but it's still in the test phase. But the clinic, if you are a professional and you have a clinic, you can join us in the test phase. It would be very interesting to have voluntary clinics in there, because we are not doing a highly paid issue here. So it is that will be no refund for it, like from Pfizer in this case. But if you're really interested in healing, well, be welcome. Contact us and join the club of trying to heal.
Spell it again. Would you give that to him again?
V-O-E-D-I-A, voedia, at gmail.com.
Right.
That's how you can get in contact with Andreas if you're interested in these new developments. I think that's a great place for us to end tonight. Any of you gentlemen have any closing remarks before we sign off?
Good night.
Excellent. All right, Andreas, thank you so very much for sharing all of your insights and wisdom. And thank you, Sandy, for joining us here at the end. Jim, thank you so much, as always. And all of you, thank you at home for joining us this evening. It's been a fascinating talk, and we hope to see you on the next one. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.